In the past 2 weeks, we talked about the Father's heart of God, where He desires for His sons to come back to Him. You know, the younger son, of course, his physical return to the Father, and the older son, and his, I guess, emotional and spiritual return to the Father. And then last week, we talked about God's desire to dwell with His people, where in different ages, in different time frames, He uses different ways to dwell with His people. But you can see the common theme among these two ideas is that it is God's desire to reconcile with us human beings. You know, think about it. It is God, you know, basically the greater desiring to reconcile with the lesser. God, you know, the Almighty, Omnipotent God, desiring, wanting to reconcile with His creation, and especially human beings, the one that He created. This shows us how much God loves humans, and just how much He loves us. That you know, he being the greater one, purposely seeks out reconciliation with the lesser one. Usually, it's those who are in a lesser position who wants who needs the favor of the one who is in a greater position. And you know, it's common for human beings to try to seek out God, the Almighty One. But you know, in the Bible, it teaches us that it's because of God's love, how much He loves His creation, especially how much He loves human beings, that He is the one who purposely seeks out reconciliation with us. And one wonderful passage is actually found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 to 21. Once again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 to 21. And let me read it to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Now in this short passage, 18, 19, 20, 21, four verses, it actually captures the essence of the desire of God to reconcile with us. And also it captures the core, the kernel of salvation, or the kernel of the gospel, of the great news, the good news. So let's just break it down and into different sections, where in the first two verses that we read in 2 Corinthians 5:18, it is clear that it is God who initiated the reconciliation. You know, we can read it again, and it says, "Now all things are of God," so basically everything comes from Him, "who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." So all things are of God. So it is God who initiated it. It is God who planned it. It is God who basically did most of the work. Actually, He did all of the work. And through Jesus Christ, He brought in the ability or the promise of reconciliation. In terms of salvation, everything starts from God. Actually, not only salvation, but in general, everything starts from God. But especially in this passage, talking about salvation, it's talking about reconciliation. And this idea all originates from God. In fact, it actually, not only does it start from God, it is sustained by God. And in the end, it's still from God. So all things are of God. And what especially is He trying to do? He is trying to reconcile us to Himself. You know, as I said, usually it's actually the lesser beings, human beings, the created beings, who seek out either favor or honor or whatever, or help from the greater beings, or from the one who is more powerful than them, because you know they need help, so they go seek out those who can provide help to them. But in this case, it's actually reversed, where the greater one, the creator, God Almighty, you know, creator of heaven and earth, Himself seeking reconciliation. This is how much He loves us, you know, in the famous verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life." this shows the salvation clearly shows how much God, the Creator God, the Omnipotent One, God the Almighty One, loves his people, loves the human beings that he created, that he is the one who initiated it. It's not human beings initiated seeking after him. Instead, he is the one who initiated this whole great idea of reconciliation, this whole great idea of saving human beings so that they can have a relationship with him. In the Bible, it says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, so it's that while we are not even able to recognize God, while we are still against God, while we are still, in a sense, enemies against him, that he is the one who initiated the reconciliation. He is the one who initiated the plans of salvation so that we can have a relationship with him. That's how much God loves us. And how did God, you know, accomplish that reconciliation? Of course, it's through Jesus Christ. In verse 18 and 19, it is clear that it is God, especially in verse 19, it says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So it's God, through Jesus Christ, that is able to give us this this ministry of reconciliation. So it's clear in this age, or at this time, that it's both the Father and the Son, and later on we'll actually see the Holy Spirit also, that is doing the reconciliation. You know, it's God who planned it, and it's Christ who, through him, that we are able to achieve the reconciliation. And of course, as we have seen many times in the past few weeks, that is through the Holy Spirit who enables us to not only sustain that ministry of reconciliation, but also in the end, the Holy Spirit is sort of like a down payment by God, proving that at the end of the time that he will come back and bless and actually receive back all the people who have believed in Jesus Christ. So we can see that it's God's desire for reconciliation, and it's him who initiated it, and Christ actually fulfilled it by dying on the cross. And on the cross, he exchanged his righteousness for our unrighteousness, or he received the penalty for our unrighteousness and actually exchanged his righteous life for us. We can actually later see that in verse 21. But one of the things that is the focus of this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 to 21, is actually what our responsibility, ours meaning Christians or human beings, what is our responsibility? It is clear from 18, 19, especially in verse 20, we are called to be ambassadors for Christ. You know, what does it mean to be an ambassador? An ambassador is actually someone who represents a foreign nation, or actually in a kingdom, it's an ambassador is someone who represents the king to others. So even now, we actually have United States ambassadors going out to different nations and where they are, either to Asia, Africa, or anywhere else, and they represent the interests and the desires of the sending nation, meaning the U.S. ambassador actually represents the United States, because the United States is a democracy, so it's slightly different. But in a kingdom, the ambassador actually represents the king, because the king encompasses his whole kingdom. So an ambassador for God, the sovereign king, is that we represent God to others. We represent God to the nations. And this is what verse 20 says. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So one of our functions as ambassadors of Christ, or ambassadors of God, is to bring the good news to other people, to people who have never heard it, or to people who do not understand it, and to show them the good news. Not only are we to say it with our speech, but we are also to represent God to them, through our actions, through our lives. Those who look at the ambassadors will be able to see the reflection of how wonderful the king is. For instance, if it's if the ambassadors is wearing torn clothes and dirty shoes and it's acting really like a beggar, then who would want to be in that kingdom, you know, because apparently that kingdom is so poor that it cannot even afford to dress its ambassadors to as a good representation of its nation. However, if someone who's an ambassador is wearing nice clothes or who's dignified and you know being respected by everyone, then you can see that that's a kingdom with a king that is powerful, that can clearly support and provide for its ambassadors, so that you know there will be a rightful reflection of how wonderful that king, that ambassador or that kingdom is through the ambassador. That is why it's very important for Christians to actually, as we have been saying for many weeks now, to live in the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit, because when other people see us, they actually see a reflection of you know the kingdom that we come from, meaning the kingdom of righteousness, the kingdom of light, and the kingdom of God. You know, all these are synonyms representing the same thing, that we represent the kingdom of God, that we are His ambassadors. And as His ambassadors, we should live up to the wonderful nature of that kingdom, and to the wonderful nature of that king, of the wonderful king. If an ambassador is, you know, not doing well, or if an ambassador is always in poverty, then it reflects back to the kingdom. It reflects back to the king that apparently the king could not sustain and support its ambassadors. But that's not true in the kingdom of God. You know, it's clear through the Bible that God is all powerful. That God, you know, it says that the cows in a thousand hills all belong to Him. It's just a good metaphor saying that, you know, God is not poor and He's not stingy either. You know, He gives liberally, and He loves His people. That you know, He loves to bless them. That as we go and represent Him to the people who do not know Him, He wants people to see that He is a great God and He is a good God and He loves people. That's why He calls us to go out to become His ambassadors, to become His representative to others, so that when others see us, they will see just how wonderful and how good our God is. And Jesus is the best example for that. In the Gospels, it is clear that many times after Jesus healed people, you know, he did the miraculous of healing, you know, the blind seeing, the lame walking, the deaf hearing, and the mute speaking, that people actually turned around and gave glory to God, saying, giving God glory, that seeing that God would give such powers to human beings. This is the greatest example of what it means to be an ambassador, that when people see us and the things that we do, they will give glory to God. When people see the things that the ambassador do, they will give glory to the king that the ambassador represents. In the Bible, it says that when people see the good works that we do, the good works that Christians do, then they will give glory to God. No, who enables us to do those works, who enables us to do things that help people and to show just how wonderful our God is. So one of the things as ambassadors of God is that we have to be careful in how we live, and we have to be truly walking in sync with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we will give a false impression of what it means to be Christians. We'll give a false impression, not only of that, but a false impression of the King that we represent. We are ambassadors of God, and God wants for us to be an example of how wonderful it is to be reconciled with Him. You know, that's why He has given us the ministry or the word of reconciliation. That's why He has told us to go out into the world and just to show them just how wonderful it is to be a Christian, just how wonderful it is to be a son of God, a co-heir with Jesus Christ, because that's you know who He is, and that's how the kingdom of God functions and works in us. In a sense, we are like first fruits. You know, in the Bible, it says that, you know, especially in the idea of the Jewish culture, first fruit actually represents the entire It's basically the first harvest or you know those fruits that were initially reaped first, and the first fruits represents the rest of the fruits, you know, the rest that will be harvested. And if the first fruits are good and holy, then you can see the rest of the fruits will be acceptable and, you know, they'll be good and be holy. That's why the first fruits are actually usually in the Old Testament offered to God, and God will accept the first fruits as good and holy, and then the people can eat the rest of the fruits. So that idea is that we, as Christians now, are first fruits to the rest of the world, just like the early Christians were first fruits for us now. In that, you know, we can see how God treats them and how God blesses them is a good indication, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That it's the same. Way that he will treat us, it's the same way that he will treat those who will believe afterwards. You know, so it's an example to the world of how wonderful and how good he is, and that's done through Christians being a right representation of who Jesus is, and Christians being a good ambassador of who God is. And of course, the best gift that God has given human beings, the best gift that God has given to us, the best gift that God has given to the world is the ministry of reconciliation, is through Jesus Christ. It's what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, because that's, you know, the way and the only way that we can gain access to God again. And it's clearly seen in verse 21 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where it says, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And this one verse actually is a clear description of the good news of the gospel, of what Jesus did on the cross. And this one verse shows that, you know, what Jesus did and the plan of reconciliation and the purpose of how reconciliation could be achieved is that Jesus, who is perfect, you know, he is of course God, but he is the Word becomes flesh. He became a human being to live through life, being tempted by the enemy, by devil, by Satan, and going through all the sufferings, you know, being rejected by men, and you know, going through all the hardships of being a human being, and yet he is without sin. So that he's first of all an example for us of how to live a sinless life, and second of all, because he lived a life of without sin, that while on the cross he was able to exchange this righteous life that he lived for our unrighteous life that we lived, and that exchange was done on the cross, so that we are able to reap the wonderful blessings of a sinless life, while Jesus reaped the curse of our sinful living. And of course, you know, it says in Romans that the natural result of sin is actually death, and Jesus suffered death on the cross for us. So the cross is actually a wonderful place, you know, and the central place the Christian belief is that on the cross, you know, Jesus loved us so much that he exchanged his righteous life and all the blessings that comes with being a righteous person for our unrighteous life, and all the curses that belongs to the sinful living, all the curses that comes because we have failed to live up to the righteous requirements of God. And all these are in one moment, in the moment when Christ was on the cross, it was exchanged, transferred us, that, you know, all the punishment is heaped up unto Christ, and all the blessings are given to us. That's how much God loves us, and that's how the justice nature, the just nature of God is fulfilled, so that he can still show his love for us and retain and still remain being the righteous judge. You know, God cannot allow unholiness to be in his sight, because when there's wickedness in his sight, it was immediately destroyed or immediately taken care of. So the only way that we can approach God without fear and being blameless is that we approach God through Jesus Christ through the exchange that was done on the cross, so that when God sees us, he sees us in Christ, in the righteous life of Christ. That's why in verse 21 it says that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And it's only through in Jesus Christ that we are able to have a relationship with God. It's only through Jesus Christ that we are able to represent God rightly to the rest of the world. It's only through in him that we are able to experience all the wonderful blessings that God wants to give us. And that's why, you know, Jesus is the only way. He's the only truth. And he's the only true life-giving one. That Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. And he's the only way to God. No one can approach God except through him. So as this passage says, and for those of you who do not yet know who Jesus is, and I want to repeat what the Apostle Paul says in verse 20 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that if you do not know him yet, that we are, we as ambassadors of Christ, as through God, we're pleading to you, that we ask you on Jesus' behalf to be reconciled with God. And for those of you who are already Christians, that you know, I'm just want to encourage you to keep on living according to by the Spirit, and walk in the Spirit, so that we can be a rightful ambassador, a ambassador that correctly represents who Jesus is. So let's close this time in prayer. Lord, I thank you for just reminding us that we are your ambassadors, Lord, that through us you are calling out to the rest of the world to be reconciled to you. And Lord, that I ask, Lord, that you'll give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, Lord, so that our spiritual eyes will be open to how good and great and wonderful you are, and all the blessings that you have given us, especially the blessing of salvation. And Lord, that let us, as Christians, be living a life that is correctly reflecting of how good and great you are. And also those, I ask, Lord, for those who have yet to know you, Lord, that you will just reach out and touch them, Lord, that as they see how great and wonderful you are, they will come and want to be reconciled to you. And it is only through Jesus Christ that this is able, that this is accomplished. Thank you, Lord, and I ask that may your Holy Spirit come and just wonderfully bless all those who are hearing this message and who are praying this prayer with me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.